May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 983. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. Hymn 983.
Thank you. The reading of the Word of God is from the Gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 9. The Gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 9. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitudes saw it, they marvelled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. And while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. The fame hereof went abroad into all that land. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. When he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, that behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marvelled, saying it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. The Lord bless to us the word that we have read, and help us in prayer. O Lord, we venture once again to thy footstool of mercy. Lord, grant us faith to do so. Faith in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, to present our prayers. Lord, and we know and we need at this time, oh, that blessed instructor. Lord, so that it isn't words that we bring, not words of one's natural ability or understanding, but divine needs, Lord, revealed to us. One said, Thou art come into a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his power and grace is such, none can ever ask too much. But Lord, we would ask in faith, with many burdens, Lord, with many needs. Oh, how we would venture near, draw near, and lay these burdens at thy feet. We have the privilege of the means of grace. Once again, Lord, thou hast spared our lives so that we can gather together here. We would be thankful for that blessing. But Lord, it will be a great blessing if we find Jesus in the midst. Lord, that is what we pray for. Lord, we're thankful for the company of people, and Lord, we pray that indeed Jesus may be here. But then we need the Holy Spirit, Lord, not to pray only, not to speak only. Lord, we certainly need his help. But Lord, surely there are those here that need his help to hear. Lord, our mind and our trust theirs is indicting a good matter. Lord, we pray therefore that what is so vital in each, whether speaker or hearer, Lord, is the influence of the Spirit. And Lord, what has been sung expresses it. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God, and make to us salvation known, and witness through the blood. Lord, there's no instructor like him. He is the promised comforter. He shall teach you all things. Lord, that is what we need. Lord, we're sinners by birth and sinners by practice. So how can we know, Lord, in a natural sense, the truth of the word of God, that which lies beneath, Lord, not just the words. We can read the word and we can, Lord, understand the word in some measure. But Lord, teach us by thy Spirit what is spiritual about the word, which is for the benefit of our souls. Now be mindful of us each here, Lord. Lord, we pray for the young people. Lord, oh, remember them in mercy. They're living in a very evil age and surrounded by evil people. Lord, there's many things that are attractive to nature. Lord, and there are many things which are beneficial, Lord, to a providential path. Lord, teach them by thy grace to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, thou hast blessed indeed the age in which we live with much understanding and wisdom. Lord, and many good things are done because thou hast given wisdom to men. Oh, that thou would, Lord, bless these young friends with that wisdom which is to be made wise unto salvation. And Lord, in a providential path, Lord, enable them to look to thee, ask of thee, present their need to thee. Lord, or make for them, Lord, reveal to them the way which is right, and Lord, may they be given grace to walk that way. But then, Lord, there are those that are in the midst of life with its various concerns and burdens and cares. Lord, thou art a burden bearer to thy dear people. Lord, may they look to thee for the appearance and help. Then, Lord, there are those here that are old. Lord, and we pray, Lord, we pray because, Lord, we're drawing near to the journey's end. Lord, make us indeed bring us to that place, Lord, when we seek and watch for thy appearing. Lord, apply the truth to our souls. Make us hungry and thirsty after the things of God. Lord, confirm thy work to thy people. Lord, speak again, Lord, blessings of the past. May they prove, Lord, in the revealing of those spiritual blessings that have been once known. Lord, thou who hast spoken them in times past is the same yesterday and today and forever. But we pray for seeking souls, Lord. Those who, Lord, according to divine teaching, are poor, are needy. Lord, that seek for things which, Lord, is for their spiritual profit. Lord, come, we pray thee, in the midst of this congregation, Lord, and show thyself, reveal thyself to them. Lord, we have read of the Pharisees, Lord, how they wondered at the company that out escape, publicans and sinners. Lord, in another place we read concerning Jesus, that he ate with publicans and sinners. Lord, what a mercy if we are a sinner by the Holy Spirit's teaching. That thou hast revealed the complaint of the Adam fall working within us. What a mercy, Lord, if we know it. What a mercy, Lord, when it troubles us. What a mercy to feel a need of blood, Jesus' blood, which cleanseth from all sin. Dear Lord, hear prayer for each and the sanctuary of God. Lord, and may there be in each heart a desire after Jesus Christ. Remember this cause, remember the church, Lord, that is planted here. Lord, may it be added to. Lord, may there be in this congregation that gather here, Lord, from Sunday to weeknight, Lord, the constraining influence of love. Lord, may there be that liberty given, that light shone, Lord, and the burdened sinner made free, captive sinners released. Lord, and oh, may the love of Christ, Lord, be found in the heart. Lord, we would remember the preaching here. Lord, as thy servants come here from week to week, Lord, may they bring a word from God for this people. May the cases, the desires, the longing hearts, Lord, may it be, as it were, to draw from thee, through thy servants, Lord, a word for their condition. So as they come here to preach unawares of any exercise or burden, Lord, that they may bring a word from God which will be blessed to them. We would not, Lord, forget to those that are in affliction's path, and ask, Lord, that thou would indeed grant sparing mercy, restoring mercy, healing mercy. We pray especially too, Lord, that this may be for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, we, Lord, have read and have often, Lord, been reminded by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Dear Lord, indeed grant thy healing hand and thy sparing mercy. But Lord, may there be a blessing of grace in it. May they learn Christ, Lord, in this affliction, in these afflictions. Oh, we humbly ask thee, Lord, and when we think about it, Lord, we've all got affliction. Sin is in us, and it reigns in us. And Lord, we brought it into the world with us. We have a nature, Lord, left to itself, loves sin, and goes out after it. Dear Lord, oh, may the Lord Jesus be seen as the good physician. Lord, may we know a need and an experience of the healing virtue in his precious blood. Lord, what we need, Lord, is what the dear old saints used to pray for. Lord, it isn't just the knowledge of these things, it's the experience of them. Lord, it's the application of them, and it's the blessed effect of them, Lord. Oh, may we be real Christians, washed in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, hear us, Lord, we're all afflicted. Lord, and we pray that in this we may know what it is to cry out after thee because of affliction, the affliction of sin. And we would remember too the bereaved. Lord, thy word is a comfort. Lord, we pray that thy word may be sent and applied. Oh, Lord, these things are a warning to us. Lord, before long it will be us that have been taken out of time. Lord, may we hear a voice in bereavement and sorrow. Lord, grant that we may be truly exercised to be found, gathered with thy saints in glory. Lord, prepare us for heaven, Lord. Be very mindful now, we pray thee, Lord, of all thy servants. Lord, we've read of thee in the word of God, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. Lord, there's such a need. And we pray, Lord, that thou would hear that cry, Lord, and raise up and thrust out those who are taught of the Spirit to preach the everlasting gospel. Lord, hear our prayers in this. Oh, but Lord, we must ask thee this also, that if thou wilt do these things, that thou wilt also send thy Spirit in the congregations. Lord, because if that work of the Spirit isn't there, Lord, what benefit is the gospel? Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Lord, we pray for the return of the Spirit in its power, Lord, with its authority, and the word made a blessing. But then, Lord, we would remember those who long for a blessing. Lord, may we include those that have known the blessing. Past times, past experiences. Lord, refreshing showers they have known. The preciousness of Jesus revealed. Lord, remind them of his word. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Lord, what did thy servant David write? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Dear Lord, do this. Lord, do it, and we pray thou would do it in this house of God, to this people. Lord, visit them with thy salvation. Now we live in evil times, Lord, and we need preserving from the evil. Evil, Lord, is not always so clearly seen. Lord, evil attracts. Keep us each from the attraction of evil. But Lord, thou hast visited this nation with judgment. Lord, we would be thankful for those brief showers upon the earth, but Lord, we need more for the growing of the crops. And we do beg, Lord, because there was promised seed time and harvest, Lord, we would pray that thou would send rain upon the earth again, and rain upon this nation. Lord, we're sinners and we deserve nothing, but we're very conscious of the promise, Lord, and it is the promise that we plead. Lord, keep us from the will of our enemies. Subdue the powers of Satan, Lord. Oh, against thy people and against thy word. Lord, maintain the privileges that we have of an open Bible, Lord, and a house of God. So these mercies and favours we are indebted to thee for. We thank thee too that thou art a God of providence. And Lord, thou hast maintained the lot of thy people, and will do so. So we bless thee and thank thee, Lord, for thy constant care and provision for us. Now, Lord, come again and revive us in our souls. Lord, we look up to thee. We have nothing. And Lord, we fear. But Lord, it's a safe place. Lord, to thee we look and upon thee we wait. And we ask thee to open up the word of God to us. But wilt thou bless it? Lord, the desire is according to the promise. Lord, whether it be personal, Lord, and we pray it may be, but whether it is, Lord, for thy people generally, but thou hast said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. Lord, hear us and bless thy word and fulfill that promise. Now pardon all our sins, put away all our iniquities for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Part of hymn number 298, the first four verses. The Canaanites still in the land, to harass, perplex and dismay, brought Israel of old at a stand, for Anak was stronger than they. What God had designed they possessed, supported and kept by his hand. Yet lest on their lees they should rest, the Canaanites dwelt in the land. Hymn 298, the first four verses.
dependence entirely upon the Lord for his help, I will ask your attention to the reading. The Gospel is recorded by Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12. The Gospel is recorded by Matthew chapter 12, chapter 9 verse 12. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. They that be whole need not a physician. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Dear friends, we each here in this house of God are found in our nature to be sick. We are not whole. The Adam fall, we are each the subject of it. And so there is a condition here that is to be known by those who fear the Lord. Now, to know that condition, to be brought into that condition or the experience of it, is very distressing and indeed very saddened. But what a mercy that there are many that would indeed see the way of salvation in the person of Jesus. But there are many that do not know what it is to need that salvation. Those who understand this text, they that be whole need not a physician, they are in themselves whole and would not contradict it for a moment. They've never known what it is to be troubled with sin or distressed by sin or to be brought into that condition and place where they would view sin as to be shall take them eternal woe when they die. They that be whole need not a physician. But there are a blessed people, and may you and I be amongst them, that are instructed and taught by a means, by a way of grace. And the way of grace is, it opens up, reveals, and makes the sinner know what it is to be a sinner. There's a hymn, isn't there? Few that any come to Jesus, till reduced to self-despair. One of the many evidences of God's grace in the soul, you know, is to know the condition of being a sinner. One of the conditions of the evidence of grace is to know the preciousness of the person of Jesus. You know, there are many amongst the children of God now, there are those who feel that they are poor and needy. And Satan would say, well, there's an evidence of not being a child of God. But you see, by nature we're poor and needy, but we're not conscious of that state and condition until it is revealed and shown to us. Sometimes we look at the condition that we're in and we judge it to be against us. If you know what it is to pray for mercy, if you know what it is to have to lay before the Lord your petitions concerning the felt sense of your lost state by nature, I'm sure of this, and I can bear witness, and you can bear witness, I hope, at least, that it is true that the condition that you are revealed to be in, the condition that you feel to be in, is a distressing condition. But you know there's a great mercy in that. There's a real mercy in being taught sin's condition in the soul. When one, you know, when you read through the Word of God, you'll find these words, or you'll find certain descriptions of the feelings of the people of God. You could spend time this night rehearsing what the Word of God has recorded as regards sinners. Sensible sinners, I mean. It wasn't long ago, and I hope you'll forgive me if I just recall something. We had a word to preach at Zora, something like this, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Then I came to this conclusion, you know. Is your religion in the Scriptures? It certainly is, you know. It certainly is. Your religion and mine is in the Scriptures. What does it say of us? Does it speak ill, as it were, of our condition? Is the gospel, as it's recorded between between Genesis and Revelation, is that precious gospel, has it been known to us, or contains in it those things which you find to seek for and to know and to experience? Does reading the third chapter of the book of Genesis, when sin entered the world, does it bring you to see and realize that you're the subjects of that sin? Your religion and mine, whatever it may be, will be found in the Scriptures. The blessings and mercies and favours of a child of God is found there. The way of salvation is found there. The temptations of Satan and the onslaughts of the enemy and the persecutions of Satan, it's all found there. So is the condition of the lost. So is the condition of those who, as Psalm 73 tells us, the psalmist was in that state and condition where he envied the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. You see, however, whatever condition that you and I are in tonight, if we are dead in trespasses and sins, it's in the Scriptures. But blessed are those people, you know, by the Holy Spirit, that condition has been revealed to them. When you think of these Pharisees that criticized and spoke against the Lord of life and glory, when you read, as you do in the Gospel as recorded by Luke, the prayers of the Pharisee, and somewhere in the Word you will find their self-righteous condition was such that they could say to others, give place to me, for I am more holier than thou. What a ruined condition sin has brought sinners into. Oh, but what a blessing that there is in the Scriptures also the way of salvation. And the work of the Spirit is seen, isn't it? If you and I are the subjects of the work of the Spirit, we shall know what it is to be sick and to be made indeed conscious of that sinful state and condition, that ruined state, that helpless state. None but Jesus could do helpless sinners good then, as the poet tells us. But it's a blessed work, you know, if the Holy Spirit tells you this. We find in the Old Testament these words, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. What a solemn state to be cast out, or to feel you're cast out at the sight of God. Dear friends, it's the way indeed the Lord works. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John chapter 14 speaks of the Comforter. And I've said it lots of times, I don't know anywhere else in the Word of God that he is described as the Comforter. He is the Comforter of the people of God because his teaching. He shall teach you all things. Now, you look and, when you're brought to sweetly experience the truth of those words, he shall teach you all things. Would you say, friends, that they were always comfortable things? When he reveals your state and condition to you, it's not a comfortable revelation. Oh, how many times is to be said, you know, that the truth of the gospel and the graces of the gospel are best known and only known, perhaps we might say, in the experience of them as well as in the revelation of them. But when the Lord works in a sinner's heart, it is by revelation, and surely, as the apostle says, you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. What a painful view you have of yourself then. What a painful view, what a painful experience it is. And yet he's called the Comforter. Oh, but he's got another work. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, of course, many would say, well, there it is. It's recorded between these covers. I don't believe it means that entirely. When by the Spirit the work of grace is found working with you, in you and in me, that's when the sinner realizes what it is to be under divine teaching. And I would that you and I would understand this more and more. When you go back to those days, I hope many of you can, when you began to realize sin and its dreadfulness and its awfulness, if you could go back to those days, as it were, and view them as a work of mercy. You know, none that know the solemnity of their standing as a sinner, none of them, those that are whole, need not a physician. Or go back to before that day when the Holy Spirit quickened you. The Lord take you back to your unregenerate days. What did you feel then? Nothing of any exercise or concern or burden. Sin didn't trouble you. Eternity, well, it was far off. Heaven or hell, what was the subject that was preached about or spoken about, didn't affect you because you were so immersed in an unregenerate and careless condition. You see, when the Lord puts his hand to the work of grace, he begins to open up to the soul the real condition that he's in. They that be whole need not a physician. I don't want to misuse or misquote words, but we might draw from those words what is recorded of the Holy Spirit in the second of Ephesians. The second chapter of the Ephesians begins, and you hath he quickened. That tells us of the condition under grace. Then it says who were dead, and that's the past tense. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now the word of the Lord Jesus is this concerning the present state of some that he was dealing with, these Pharisees that criticised the Lord of life and glory. He spoke to them and he said this: they that be whole need not a physician. Once or twice in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks directly to the sinner. And I mean the sinner that is dead in trespasses and sins. In another account in Luke 7, of the woman who washed the feet of Jesus and dried them with the hairs of her head, she was a forgiven sinner. The Pharisee, whose house the Lord Jesus Christ was in, saw what was going on and said, "If this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And of course, by that, it is very obvious and solemnly obvious that he knew not that condition and that state. Now the Lord of life and glory turned to him and addressed him. And he said this: "A certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most." Simon answered and said, "I suppose he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." But he judged against himself. And so we read this: "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven." I was going to say, I know no more solemn statement of truth that is presented to a person by the Lord of life and glory that describes the state of a person dead in trespasses and sins. That the people of God, this is what is described here: "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." But then, you know, in one's mind, surely you can go back, and I can go back, into those days when we sat under a gospel ministry, dead in trespasses and sins. And we heard the lot of the righteous being mentioned. And we heard the lot of the wicked being mentioned. And I sadly say that it had no blessed effect upon my spirit. You see, you can hear these things. And the Lord's dear servants in those days, faithful servants they were. So they preached to the hearers, whether the hearers received it or not. Now, these words were spoken then to Pharisees: "They that be whole need not a physician." And that's how it will be until grace intervenes. And when grace intervenes, dear friends, the condition of such a soul then is now a living soul, but it's also a conscious soul. He's aware. In the Acts of the Apostles, in that chapter speaks of being directed to Philippi, there was a lady there, there was a woman there called Lydia, and what was it said about her? Whose heart the Lord opened. You say, she wasn't just a hearer, she wasn't just listening. It's a very sweet chapter, because it begins, doesn't it, where the Lord sends, the part of it that I'm referring to, points to where the apostles went, where prayer was wont to be made, by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And it's a very clear evidence that the prayers that were offered by those women at the riverside was heard and answered. And such it was that the apostles came and preached the gospel to them. But this dear lady, this woman, Lydia, she had a heart, a natural heart, wasn't that? She had a spiritual heart, whose heart the Lord opened. Dear friends, this is what is referred to here: "They that be whole need not a physician." And they live and die in that condition. There's only one place they'll ever be found in. Solemn it is to say it: eternal woe. But now let us look at the condition which is called, "But they that are sick." And what a blessed evidence that is. How long does the sickness last? There is, in a certain sense, you know, In the work of grace, there is a complete work. When the Holy Spirit when he calls his people out of the darkness of nature and works eternal life into their soul, there begins a work which is a perfect work. And if you have a living soul, it is a soul that will never be tainted by sin, because it is being born from above. Another nature is found within you and me if we are the subjects of it, and that nature will never be stained with sin. But the work of the Spirit is not only to reveal the person of Jesus Christ, but also to reveal the need of Jesus Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Because, as we reminded you, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. That's the work of the Spirit. Dear friends, if you know any need, if you have any need, and if I should say this, you would understand my simplicity. If you know any need of a precious Jesus, it is because he's been shown, because he's been revealed to a person who is destitute of grace, not destitute of comfort, destitute of grace. Then there's no preciousness, no beauty, nothing to be seen in the Lord of life and glory. But where the work of grace brings a need of Jesus Christ, it will bring a drawing unto Jesus Christ. There's a very precious word, you know, in John chapter 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's one of the most... Well, how can you differ that word from word? But you know, when the Lord makes a word in his word precious to you, then you'll see it's one of the most beautiful words of the whole of the Bible. Because it is these that are sick that shall be found coming sinners. I'm sure of this, and I'm sure as I know my own experience, that you would know, seeking soul, whoever you are, you would find this to be such a trial to you, to be a seeking soul. What is it? Why is it such a trial? Because it seems as though you'll never find what you seek for. And such souls that are taught of God, taught of the Spirit, their state and condition as a ruined sinner is found and realized and experienced by them time and time again. And you know, it's a bit like, and I say it very carefully, and I hope I try to be as reverent as I can, but you know, where it is recorded of the Apostle Peter, who saw Jesus walking on the sea. Now, the blessing was, he said, if thou be the Christ, bid me come. So he bade him come. And he stepped out of the boat onto the waves. Now, his eyes were not on Jesus, and he began to sink. And it brought the cry out, didn't it, out of his heart, Lord, save me. Dear friends, when you can see nothing but sin, and when you can feel nothing but sin, and that distresses a living soul, you know, that's a burden that they cannot carry. But it will bring them to the throne of grace. You see, what is going on in the soul is a work of living faith. I've often said, when you read that case in Luke about the man who cried or prayed in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner, he was typical of every child of grace. Why was he typical? Because he was a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. It was a burden to his conscience that he was a sinner. But there was a grain of gracious faith given to him. We read in this chapter about the woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. And I believe that woman was a gracious woman. For she touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Now that's faith. That's faith which brings a sinner to Jesus Christ. And the hand of faith reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. I can but perish if I go, I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I shall forever die. That's what grace will do for you. The grace of faith. Oh, he's a blessed comforter, is this Holy Spirit. Because he reveals the way of salvation. But he doesn't only reveal the way of salvation. He makes the sinner need that salvation. He makes them aware of the sickness or the affliction that sin has brought them into. It's a very sad condition to be a sinner, you know, and not know it. But it's also a very sorrowful condition to be a sinner and know it. Because those that are a sinner and know it and experience it cannot take comfort to themselves. You see, there's a lot of preaching goes on, and I hope not in this denomination, but there's a lot of preaching going on which rests upon the letter of the truth. Now, with religious knowledge and upbringing in religion, going to a place of worship, reading the Bible, it will give you many examples of the truth that this is in Jesus. What laid on my mind then was what the Lord so very graciously spoke into my heart one day. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The trouble is, dear friends, is the state and condition of nature. It's a promise that is a blessing to the Church of Christ when it is applied. Blessed is those people who are brought to see it, but more blessed are those people who are brought to know it by its application. You see, there's much religion in taking the word of God in the letter. And many will have you to believe, or will try to have you to believe, that all you have to do is to believe, you know. Take the word of God as it is recorded, and apply it to yourself. Dear friends, if you was mortally sick, by sin I mean, and such that are taught of the Spirit find a hopelessness in that case, what you want is the application of it. But you know this as well as I do. You can't put your hand out and take it for yourself. Thanks be unto God, the apostle wrote, for his unspeakable gift. It's not to be taken, it's to be given. And the blessed Spirit's work is to apply that gift. As sure as he teaches what it is to be a sinner, so surely will he teach the sinner the way to know that mercy. And you know that can take a long, long time. According to the mercy of God. Spoke recently, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. And you know, I don't know if I can find it, but I sometimes look at the hymns to see whether there's some confirmation. And there was a confirmation. It was in the last hymn. And it speaks about the burden sinner set free. Now, one of the evidences, dear friends, of real religion, the work of God's Spirit in the soul, is that your spiritual condition will be a burden. will be a heavy burden. It's not likely to be spoken of, and it's not likely to be dismissed. There are blessings in the gospel recorded, and the blessings of Jesus Christ in the gospel is recorded for encouragement to the church of Christ. Dear friends, they can't put their hands out and steal it. And you won't either. One of the words that I used to understand by experience in earlier days was this: until I'm told by God's own lips that he has chosen me, and I couldn't rest till that day was. I couldn't rest till that day. People used to say, it's good, you know, when you're concerned. It's good when you're burdened. And it is good. But you can't lift yourself out of that burden no more than you can change the weather. Neither can you make dark light or light dark. You see, the work of the Spirit is a complete work, just as the work of Jesus Christ is a complete work. And this blessing and this grace that we have in this text, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You see, the whole text revolves round one word in a sense. When I was looking at this after lunch today, and that's when I got the text. There was something else going on before then. I had to dismiss that one. Perhaps that be for another time, but this dropped in just after lunch. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And you know, and I looked at it in this light. There are two characters in this text, a sinner and a saviour. And I came to this conclusion, one of the most important words of this text is this: need. Need. They that are whole, they that be whole, need not. As I said just now, when you look at your state by nature, what you could say of yourself, if you was honest, was you did not need. You did not need. When the apostle was speaking, was it to Festus? He was evidently troubled by what he heard. He said to the apostle Paul, I will hear thee again on this matter. I will hear thee again. Why was it so? Because it was too searching. Because it was too close to the bone. It was solemn truth, you know. That's what the people of the world are like. They will hear it again, if so be. They have the opportunity. When you speak of the Lord's dealings with you, even if you spoke of the Lord's dealings in a providential way to you, they don't want to know. Why? Because there's no hand of man in it. But oh, so much more blessed, you know, when you can speak of the things of God. I thought just now when I spoke about the line of the hymn came to me. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Nothing but love shall I receive. And if you and I were not the subjects of his love, you would never know these truths. You would never know these truths, dear friends. They that be whole need not a physician. But then there's another thought that you and I had about this word. But often, I hope you can understand this way of speaking. I said earlier on about your condition and your state, whatever it is, grace or providence is recorded in the Word of God. Now, I say this too. I hope you'll receive it. Two things come to my mind. Does the Word of God, therefore, bring you to know what your religion, your state, your spiritual life is. I don't like using the word religion because it's too broad. Those who have a spiritual life will find it in the word of truth, as I've said. But do you not sometimes, child of grace, do you not try to take your case, your condition, your circumstances, your spiritual circumstances I'm talking about, do you not take it to the word of God to see that there's something like it in there? I hope you understand that. I do hope you do. Because, you know, the children of God, though they are taught differently, and are taught separately by the same good spirit, the word of God, you'll find in the word of God those experiences that match the work of grace in your soul and mine, if it is there. And this is one of them. And the word need, of course, is the most important descriptive word in that one. They that be whole need not. Now, surely those who are a seeking soul in Zion, surely those that are a seeking soul in this house of God, whatever you would say about yourself, you would never be able to say, you know, there is no need. There is no need. Oh, but dear friends, trace where the need comes from. Trace where it comes from. Who put a need in your soul? Who made you feel the affliction of that sickness? Who made you feel the hopelessness of that condition of a spiritual life that brought no comfort whatsoever? Who taught you to mourn over sin? Who gave you a sensible conscience of and sin and a departure from God and godliness? The need spoken of here is a very important state. You go and look in Luke's Gospel at what's called the prodigal. What's described as the prodigal? The Lord Jesus Christ tells the account, the spiritual account of the prodigal. It wasn't a parable. It describes the people of God. We read this, and there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. The two goes together. When he called you by his grace, whoever you are, you had a different view of this world then. Dear friends, I'm separating here from a world that supplies you and I with providential blessings under God's hand. But I'm talking about the world in its lost condition, in its state of sin. When the Lord began to deal with you, you saw this world in a different light. When the Lord begins with his people, it makes this world to be a wilderness, because there's nothing in it that will do your soul any good. The Lord maintains this world in its being while there's a child of grace in this world. And when the last vessel of mercy is taken home to glory, the world will be finished with, and it will be dissolved by fire. He maintains it for the church of Christ. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And that sickness will show itself. It will show itself by an internal view to the sinner, but it will show itself with an external view. It will show itself how you and I come to the house of God. That's an external view. And it will show itself in the prayers and supplications that are found and formed in your heart by the Holy Spirit of truth. That will reveal the sickness. That will reveal the condition. But that will also reveal the hopelessness of that condition. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. It's the most painful expression, but it's the most needful expression. And I believe this, and I hope you'll receive it. This is my view of the Lord's dealings with his people. The poorer you're brought to, the more blessed it is. The poorer you are brought to, the less you depend on your knowledge of the scriptures or your knowledge of the doctrines of the scriptures. The more that you do not lean on your upbringing or upon anything in any way has been influencing your mind, the Lord will strip his people of any comfort in anything else or anyone else but his blessed self. When you know sin, you'll want forgiveness. When you feel his absence from you, and that's the experience of those who have been in the way a long time, when you feel his absence, you will mourn over it. I said in prayer about David, yes, he sinned. But you know, the greatest grief to that dear man was this, when the Lord hid his face. And so he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Job was put into the hands of Satan to do what he would with him, except take his life. And what was the blessing that he prayed for? Oh, that I knew or I might find him. That was the blessing. A poor sinner who knows his sin, mourns over it, grieves over it, will not wish the days back when he was free of sin and in the world and amongst the world. But his eyes will be and his prayer will be that the Lord in his mercy will draw near and wash him clean in his precious blood. One of the most sweetest texts in my experience was this word, you know. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's not free will, that's free grace. Because every sinner that is the subject of this divine teaching will be found in confession before the Lord. Well, we must leave the word then. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Let me read this. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Fred Ince will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097.
to bless thine own word. Oh, but also pardon all that has been amiss in thy sight. Lord, take us to our homes in safety and in peace, and abide with us. Lord, may his grace and the Father's love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us each, now and forever. Amen.